The Conviction of Liberty. It was around the second of July in 1776 when the Congress of the United States voted to officially become independent from Great Britain. And then it was July 4th of 1976 where it was officially ratified. And the fact of the matter is, the majority of us are immigrants, right? We can look back, somebody's parents came here from some other part of the world, and they came here. And to this day, one of the things that we do as a ministry is we've got three families right now that are in the immigration process. And bless God, we're able to share in that and participate in that. And it gives me great pleasure, quite frankly, to take these trips out to Buffalo with people and come back. And you get to know people a lot. I mean, you got an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes to talk. And we talk about the Lord and we talk about people's needs and you get to know people. Amen. Conversation. God is a God of relationships. Amen. Amen. So in our service to the Lord, what we're trying to do is enhance our relationships one with the other. What a blessed time we had there at your home the other day. Thank you for the invite. It was a lot of fun. And what we have here in Psalms 33, verse 12, it says there, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." And that is the distinction. That is the distinction with the imperfections of the human race that goes across this entire planet. There were a people that said, "We're going to choose God by which we will rule ourselves." And those are the kinds of people that came to America. They said, we're gonna choose the God of creation by which we're going to rule our business. And they had no idea how that was actually going to unfold. But if you're an immigrant or you are the child of an immigrant, you left your country because there's something different about the United States that is just unequal around the world. And the distinction is God. God chose Israel, but the United States chose the God of the Bible. And that's the distinction. What was that French historian? The Tocqueville, what was his first name?
Tocqueville.
Yeah. He left Europe. He came to search out why America was so great. He looked into its industry, he looked into its agriculture, he looked into his educational system, and it wasn't until he visited the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, that's what he said, "Now I understand the greatness of America." The influence of the preaching of the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ has actually brought civility. I like that one verse. That one verse really stands out. "He has died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free." Wow.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Amen.
Yes.
That's powerful. Amen. And we fought a war of independence because people had a conviction of liberty. Freedom doesn't come from the human race. Freedom doesn't come to us by government. Freedom comes to us by God.
Amen. Amen.
And we need to be not only clear for ourselves about that truth, we need to proclaim that truth to a lost, dying, and a world that is blind and cannot hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you have vision, if you have understanding, if you have insight, if you have hope, it's because of the gospel of Christ. And that's the kind of message. For the sake of those that have not heard this experience I had years ago, prior to me leaving General Motors Rochester Products, Rochester Bronze Aluminum, or not rather. Rochester Products, it was. Now I forget. I think they changed their name to Delphi. They've changed their name 100 times, but I used to be out there, Lee Road. And General Motors hired this British professor He was a historian, and he gave us 40 hours seminar for an entire week on the evolution of industry in the United States and in Great Britain, in Europe and the United States. And the guy was super interesting to listen to. He had, the guy's probably has a doctorate degree, and he knew exactly what he was talking about, and he made it very, very interesting to listen to. However, at the end of the conversation, he becomes quite pensive, and he's drawing a comparison between the United States and Europe. And of course, I don't know about now, but back for the longest time, we were the greatest economic power on earth. And he gets pensive, and he says, "Boy, you Americans are really lucky." And I just couldn't let that one go. And I said, "No, sir. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It has nothing to do with luck." There's a massive distinction between luck and blessing. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why to this day people are leaving different countries around the world to come here. There's still a blessing of the Lord in this country. Even though this country, and at least its leaders and its politicians, they want to turn their public education. It's amazing, but there's a great battle taking place. Amen? We are resisting. In fact, I don't know, how many of you seen that commercial that we got to take the rainbow back? Have you seen that commercial? That's glorious, man. Who's that?
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
Mm-hmm. The Christians.
The God's people. Mm-hmm. The body of Christ is doing that. Amen. So going back to what you said earlier, brother, we just got to be out there and, we support, right? We do support Embracing Options and Compass Care. We support all these things, but we have to be more vocal with our announcements of these things. And that's a great point. Yes.
Something funny about it, too, is the fact that God is so powerful that they couldn't even take the full-on rainbow and they had to make an off-brand version of it, just adding one more color to it at the end of the day.
Well, people make up their things as they want. Mm-hmm. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? And that's where we stand. So let's take a look at what God says about certain things. I want to establish another foundation moving forward in this message. If you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't know. I just think weird and differently, I suppose. But if you'll follow with me, I think it'll make sense as we move forward here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21. We read there, it says that, "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou beest made free, use it rather." So if you're being a care, listen, this thing about liberty and freedom, this is pretty new in the context of human history. Usually you were born and belonged to somebody, or you were somebody's servant. That's how it was for many, many, many. You look throughout the entire Bible, and that's just how it was, you see? If you're a servant, well, no big deal, but if you can liberate yourself, you're even better off, amen? That's the point there, and that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. "But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." In the context, historically, as I said, usually you belong to someone, or you're working for somebody, you're always under somebody's thumb. And this whole thing about freedom and liberty, the fact that we have actuated it, it usually comes at the price of war. Amen? One of the things that I believe is still true about the United States is that the United States military is still in place to protect our freedom. You follow what I'm saying? Where everybody else is trying to conquer someone else, what have you, I think that for the most part. But where does this issue actually start? Why are people under somebody else's oppressive rule? You know, we've got several people that are now in the immigration process, and I'm careful to warn them. This idea, this government let you come into this country without any limitations. They're trying to buy your vote. And there is no communist, and there is no socialist that ever fight for your freedom. They're fighting for control. And I let them know that today's Democrat is more of a communist, and today's socialist is more of a communist than somebody there after your life. Whoever feeds you controls you. All right? Now, I believe in liberality. I believe in giving to those that are actually in need. But when you put people on welfare rolls all the time and they drive around picking up their welfare check or going in cars a lot more expensive than mine, something is definitely wrong in Denmark with that. You know what I'm saying? So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Where does this issue actually start? I see people don't understand the foundation of the things that bring us suffering and torment. They don't have a clue. They're always kind of swimming around the consequences when they're not actually looking at the foundation, at the root of the problem. In Genesis chapter 4, who here, one at a time, who here can remember what did Pilate discover as the root reason for the death of Jesus Christ? What was the root thing that Pilate noticed as to why the Jews gave up Jesus? For what?
Envy.
Thank you very much. Bible scholars all over the place. They gave him up for envy. And in Genesis chapter 4, we see the parallel reality to that. In Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him. Well, why would Abel bring a lamb, and why will Cain bring the labor of his hands? Well, if the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that God specifically gave Adam and Eve coats of skins, where does a coat of skin come from? From an animal, and most likely when you look throughout the Old Testament history, it was usually a lamb. Right? So God had already established his culture, his way of salvation. And Cain, I'll just bring him the fruit of the land. And God said, no, it's not acceptable. I've already established a system. Right? But since God noticed Abel's, he murdered him. I believe he murdered him out of envy. But what's amazing about that scripture, if you look at it, okay, in verse 7? It says, the latter part of that verse, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now let me ask you a question. If God created me, and if God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust, if God has given everything that I need to provide for my existence, for shelter, for food, clothing, medical, all kinds of technologies that are discovered for our welfare, why should my desire be towards a man and not God first? Don't we ultimately trust God for everything? If he allows it to rain on the just, you know what blesses my soul? I just, you know how certain ideas come to your mind out of nowheres? The Holy Spirit said to me, you know, I've been serving the entire universe since I created it, including the people that hate me. Is God serving you right now? You're breathing his air, aren't you? God has been serving us. And here's what's amazing to me. He is the King. He is the Lord. And he serves you independently, and he serves us collectively, lost and saved. He's no respecter of person, and he's still in the business of serving. How humble is your God? How patient is your Lord? How long-suffering is he that he would serve us, a fallen race of people? And the ultimate service took place when there was an agreement between the Father and the Son, and the Father asks, who shall go for us? And the Spirit of prophecy, which is the Spirit of Christ, said, here am I, send me. He's been serving forever and forever, and now that truth is what makes you free. And it's that conviction of freedom. It's that conviction of freedom because of the gospel of Christ. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today. I believe that even if you don't consciously know that, that's one reason why you're here today. Because Jesus liberally, out of his own freedom, said, here am I, send me. And he went to the cross. And he freely died for me. And he freely died for you. He freely paid the price for the entire universe. That's the conviction of liberty. The desire of God to make you free, because you were created free to start with. But when sin came in, then you became the servant of sin and incarcerated in the consequences of sin. Are you with me today, family? Why are, you know why, what is at the root of woman's suffrage? Remember that whole initiative by Susan B. Anthony? By the way, Susan B. Anthony was a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was not some liberal broad out there creating havoc. But she had a right. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 16. And I would encourage you to read the entire chapter at home. But go to verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, where's my granddaughter? Where is she?
And she's feeding right now.
Now, I guarantee you were there. Were there sorrow in that birthing?
No, it was just happiness.
Well, she's happy now.
Well, yeah. Oh, you're talking about like sadness. Sorry.
No. When she was having the baby.
The pain and experience.
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children. I think there was a lot of sorrow while that baby was being born.
Yes, I didn't.
Oh, so then, you know, the Bible is true, and that's what I'm saying. And then, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, ladies, can I say something, ladies? If your desire is upon your husband, that is part of the curse. Mm-hmm. That's not part of the blessing. The fact that the desire of a man would be on another man, that's part of the curse. There's no blessing in that. And if you had to fight a war to get your liberty, we fought a civil war. We fought against Great Britain. And to this day, we fight a war to keep our liberty. Why? Because somebody wants to take rule over you.
That's right.
And that hasn't ended. That's a continual problem. How many of you have a military past? Anybody else? Military. Were you a soldier? I know we had Brother Jose Rodriguez, and I think Margarita also served in the Air Force.
Eugene.
And Eugene as well. So, listen, I always tell those people, thank you for your service. They can be called upon at any moment to give their lives so that we can continue what we call freedom here in America. Don't take it for granted, because there's always a tyrant. Mm-hmm. There's always a Democrat that wants to take over.
Never more than one generation away.
You got it, brother. Yeah, man. The history of women's suffrage, that began in 1848 in Seneca Falls, New York. Did you know that? Hello. How famous are we? Followed by numerous state campaigns, court battles, and petitions into Congress, and culminates in marches and protests, and it led to the 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. How's that? For a little trivia. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and whose people he has chosen. Go with me to John chapter 17. How many of you are still awake with your eyes open? All right, good. That doesn't guarantee anything around here. John 17. Brother Craig just took over and over. And on.
What was the...
John 17, verse 24. John 17, 24. The Gospel of John, verse 24, says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, what does that verse have to do with anything? Well, this whole thing about the Jesus being... established from the foundation of the world is because God had a plan by which to liberate us from our sin. It says before the foundation of the world. In other words, the conviction of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is, even though they created their own slavery to sin, I'm going to do something about it. You know, listen, folks, don't ever give me a problem unless you got a solution. If you're going to complain, you better complain and have a solution the next go, because I really don't want to hear the complaint. Right? I'll just be honest. I'd rather just hear you give me a solution. And that's exactly what God did. He already had the solution established even before we were created. Amen? Jesus Christ, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. That is the conviction of liberty and of freeness, even though we did not deserve it, you see. That's why we are liberal in our giving from a biblical perspective, not with a tyrannical agenda at its foundation. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained one before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We call that dispensational theology. At this time, about 2,000 years ago, the person of Christ that was promised by the law and the prophets actually took place for you and me. But God had it all figured out way before even creation. Do you think God is set on liberty or not? He's pretty set on that. Were not Adam and Eve initially created fully free? Fully liberated? I mean, so much so that God said, hey, everything I created, take dominion, rule it. Can you imagine putting all this together and then giving it to these guys? If God did not have control over all of that, one would say, I wouldn't do that. Amen. I mean, who's got the most expensive car here? Who, raise your hand. Who has an expensive car?
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. Well, Wilson's got a lot of them, man. He's got, how many cars does Wilson have? Marisorci, I'm embarrassing her. Anyway. He's got a Corvette. I've been asking him to give it up, you know, but he won't. But here's the thing. Now, if I had a Corvette, I wouldn't just give it to anybody, right? Yeah. I would give it to the most qualified person that I can find, right? So I'm thinking, you know, I tried to, hey, Wilson, I'm qualified. I've been driving since I was 16. Actually, I was driving when I was 14 years old, but I drove against the law in Puerto Rico without a license. Then I came to the United States, and I got right with God and everything else, and I got a license. But he still won't give me the Corvette. But that's, you know, that's another issue. Thing is, God took Adam and Eve, and he said, all of this that I have created in total perfection, it's all yours. Have dominion over it. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he has a backup. He has a solution. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And no matter how much I mess up, he has a way of fixing it.
Amen.
And therefore, he will not deny himself. You and I are free in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The truth has made us free. Mm-hmm. Jesus will make you free, and you will be free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conviction of the soul of God is to liberate all of his creation. In fact, you know what's exciting? Read through Romans chapter 8. Read, I don't know if I have time. Am I boring you? I mean, I don't know what else you got planned. Let's go to, I think it's Romans chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Bear with me, will you? I mean, Pastor Craig took all my time. You can blame him. In Romans chapter 8, you know, if you want a scapegoat, I got one. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Oh, this is glorious. Look at verse 20. And let's see. No, let's pick it up at verse 18. Romans 8:17. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? In who? In the believer, folks. In you. In us. Amen. Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, talking about creation, waited for the manifestation of who? Benji, you think you'll be in there, bro?
Yeah.
Amen, that's right. And for the creature was made subject to vanity. Subject to, what does that mean? Well, Adam and Eve messed it up. They became vain and they did their own thing. And God said, oh man, here you go. There goes the curse that goes with your disobedience, right? So it was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. By reason of who? That's subjected in his hope. By reason of God. He's our hope. He's the hope of creation. And you're part of the delivery, folks. Look at this. Man, I'm getting goosebumps. Because, verse 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of who? The children of God. Woo! I mean, I don't know, man. I get excited, you forgive me. But I don't care if you think I'm nuts or not. This is stuff to glorify God for.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
So, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. So, we'll go to Ephesians 1. Where's Carter? I don't hear him anymore.
He's out there.
Huh?
He's out there.
He's out there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Because of Jesus, and when you and I come back with Jesus, the whole creation that is groaning and travailing and pain will be completely liberated from the bondage and the effects and the consequences of sin. How do you feel about that cause in your life? Is that a good cause to live for? Amen. That's why we support Compass Care. We support Embracing Options. We support, I'd like to meet the folks that you discovered, brother. Because the church has always supported God's convictions, and they become ours as well. The conviction of liberty. Jesus died to make you free. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. The Puritans, and I'll close with this. They were part of the Protestant Reformation. And you know what a Protestant is? A Protestant is a person that reads, studies, and knows the Bible and tells the Roman Catholic institution, you guys are a bunch of heretics. Simple as that. I was born and raised as a Roman Catholic. I know what Roman Catholicism teaching, and it's out of the pits of hell. Just to be clear. I love Roman Catholics, but I have absolutely, it's an abomination what they teach and what they are. In fact, if you study the book of Revelation, the Roman Catholic Church will be carried by Satan himself, and it doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter how many kids they rape. Doesn't matter. They just keep going strong. Why? Because it's the religion of the Antichrist. So I have no respect for Roman Catholicism. I know it. I lived it. And I became an atheist because of it. But bless God, it was short-lived. Amen? And those Protestants pressured a man by the name of King John. And there were these rich, influential barons, but they were what? Believers in the Bible. And they told King John, if you do not give, first of all, if you do not limit, you know how we talk about conservatives, we talk about limited government? Mm-hmm. Well, this started with that whole movement. These rich barons, they were Christians, they believed the Bible, they told King John, if you do not sign an official declaration that your powers will be limited as king, we're going to raise up a militia and we're going to take you out. And that's the reality of it. And that was signed into law. Not only do you have to limit your power, your authority as a king, you have to grant certain inalienable rights that come from God. The citizenship. Well, the Bible says all men are liars, and as time went on, the Puritans said, well, let's just get out of here. But they brought the Magna Carta with them as the document by which to set up their form of government. And today, it embodies the foundation of our Constitution in the United States. It's always been the church. It's always been people of faith that has fought against all of the injustices of tyrants and bullies. Bless God. The conviction of liberty. Amen. We have to be cognizant of these things, because they easily slip away from us. We forget, and we come to church to be reminded We come to church to provoke one another to love and to good works. And the greatest love and the greatest work that we can do is not only share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are in darkness, but to encourage one another to love God and to love each other,
yes,
as Christ has loved us.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know that thing last Friday to Saturday? I enjoy just seeing your faces. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Jones' eyes were bloodshot. But here he is. So, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
Amen.
And I get to see Brother Jaden today. He still has to give me his opinion on my bow tie. It's good to see you, brother. Thanks for coming out. Let me close. It was a man of great faith that said, give me liberty or give me death. That just doesn't, that is not just born out of a human desire. That is a human desire that identifies with what we learn from the scriptures. If I could not identify myself with this book, or rather it should be said, God identifies with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a man to prove that he loves me in spite of me, and that he understands my human condition, and went to the cross because he too died that I might be made free. How do you get over that? To die for us, that we might be made free. What a glorious thing to know. Let us pray. If we could just bow our heads momentarily and meditate. We've come together as collective body of Christ. And we talk about, when I look at those men, and they have these commercials, they have lost their limbs, their ability to function, bodies mangled. And one of them individually says that if he had to do it all over again, he would. There's a huge price, starting with the Lord himself, based on his conviction of liberty. And I'm glad that we can share it.